Welcome to the Knock Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Canever.
And on this episode, another soccer roundup and two very exciting pieces of news for you, dear listener, and a couple more odds and ends. But before any of that, Brian, how you been, man?
I have been well, Patty. I've been a little on the tired side. This morning, I got up at 3:30 in the morning because my middle son, Enzo, woke up screaming for the third consecutive night.
Oh, my. And,
you know, Haley, this is further justification for why she uses white noise to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And I've been sleeping on the couch so that the small baby, because we have a 8-week-old, almost a 2-month-old now, so that he wouldn't wake me up. I've been sleeping on the couch, and instead the other one is waking me up every night. And she's like, you need to turn on that white noise. So yep. I have been tired, but I am excited to be back with you after what's been about 3.5 weeks. There is a lot of footy to discuss, and I cannot wait to get into it. Patty, how have you been doing in these final months of not having a child that wakes you up at 3:30 in the morning on a weeknight?
Yeah, we have been sleeping into 8 o'clock. The animals are definitely up and stirring by 8 o'clock. So yeah, definitely sleeping in. But then we're putting the final touches on the nursery and whatnot. And this past weekend gave it a good coat of paint. And I listened to something very specific, which I will tease, because it is a part of one of our special announcements at the end. So I will let you know what I'd listened to while I painted the nursery. Ooh. At the very end. Before that, Brian, let's talk footy. This is the Knox Soccer Podcast. And so we're going to go from, 865 and Zoom, Google map this, Google Earth this, and Zoom all the way out. So get us started here. Go for it.
I love that. Remember Google Earth when we were in college? You could just play with that all day long.
It does still exist. We just moved on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. I still play with it occasionally. I'll just pick like a random village. I actually will like find like my family's towns in Argentina and zoom out. But that's not where we're starting. We're actually starting at Bearden High School, because the Bearden Lady Bulldogs and coach Ryan Radcliffe have won a third consecutive state championship, an incredible feat.
Bravo.
They had a decent run to the final in terms of competitiveness. They had a hard semifinal that they, merged victorious in 2-1, but then they basically crumpled Ravenwood in the final 4-0. What a way to put a stamp on an incredible season where they went 22-0-1. That one was a tie against the state champions from New York, who came down and were like, you say you're the best, you finished ranked number one in the country, we'll show you. And that game ended in a 1-1 draw. Incredible feat for Bearden, and they've done it this year without a lot of the fanfare that they had last year with Brinley Murphy, who is just a superstar and, has gone to South Carolina where she's playing. According to Max Preps, Bearden is the number one ranked team in the nation for a second consecutive year. According to the United Soccer Coaches poll, which uses a different ranking and sorting system, they finished number 7, but only behind teams from other states that were also undefeated. So once again, hats off to them. They continue to rep the Knoxville area, this whole region of East Tennessee, so well. So I'm very excited. I know their boys team is excited to get going in the spring, because they're like a dual threat powerhouse on the girls and the boys side. We got some final high school soccer rankings for Knoxville. In the area, Bearden finished first, obviously 22-0-1. West was second, 13-7-2, which Bearden knocked off on a couple of occasions. Farragut, 11-4-2. Webb, 12-5-1. And Central High School, 17-3. It was so tough because, those teams kind of beat up on each other, Bearden, West, Farragut, and Central. And so they went out in the playoffs, Central lost to West, West lost to Bearden, and then Bearden made its run. But we have all those rankings in the show notes. And so, incredible stuff in the girls' high
school. So incredible. So incredible. Way to go, ladies. Man.
Yep. Yep. Can't wait. And actually what we'll plug later in the episode, we'll have a little bit of a tie into some of the stuff that's happening with some of our elite high school players. But moving on from there, Patty, it's not just high school soccer that's thriving in Knoxville. It's also college soccer. So the Lady Vols.
Let's go, Lady Vols.
Yeah. We talked about our Lady Vols a little bit. You know, we had Coach Joe Kurt on before the start of their season, and it was disappointing in some ways. You know, they were looking to win a fourth straight SEC East title. That didn't happen. They were the defending SEC tournament champions. That didn't happen. They went out in the first round this time. The regular season ended with a run of a 3-2 away win against Mizzou, a tough but thrilling 4-3 home loss to Texas A&M. And then they got that crucial 1-0 win away to Vandy. That got them in as the ninth seed in the SEC tournament. But unfortunately, they ran up against the Auburn Tigers. And even though our Jamaica international, Cameron Simmons, our reggae girl, she got her eighth goal, team-leading eighth goal of the season in the 17th minute, the Tigers roared back with two goals before halftime. Auburn went out in the next round, as did Brindley Murphy's South Carolina Gamecocks. And the final wound up being between the one and two seeds, Arkansas and Georgia. Bulldogs emerged victorious, and it was actually a really beautiful moment for Georgia because it was their first title after losing three in their last three finals appearances. They lost. Most recently, it was in 2008. And Patty, can you guess who beat down on those Bulldogs in 2008?
No, I cannot.
Come on. This is how you know our brains aren't working, because it was obviously the Lady Vols, Patty. Our Lady Vols, when they won the tournament in 2008, that was against Georgia. And so they got a little bit of the redemption this time. Speaking of redemption, Lady Vols, they did qualify for the playoffs. And who did they meet in the first round but the number 17 ranked Xavier, which had bested them last year in overtime. The game went in 1-1, and Xavier just, you know, blew them out. The gas tank had emptied, the legs ran out, and so Xavier won 4-1 last year. But this time, the mighty Lady Vols emerged victorious again in double overtime, 1-0 on the road. Ali Cesaro was a brick wall in goal. She kind of claimed that number one slot as a goalkeeper. They've been switching off throughout the season. Well, Cesaro had it. She was actually named just hours before this recording the National Player of the Week. So congratulations to Ali. She had 15 saves in that game. That ties a single game record for the Lady Vols, by the way.
Wow. And
the winning goal was a sizzler from Sissy Lawton, an absolute peach, Patty, an absolute peach. We'll have that video in the show notes, because if you haven't seen it, you're going to want to see it. You're going to want to save it. You're going to want to share it. And now our Lady Vols are going to face the fifth seeded Nebraska Cornhuskers in the NCAA second round this Friday. So this Friday, they will be up against the Cornhuskers. And I don't know. I think our girls have a good shot of causing another surprise, right? Like sometimes you're best when people underestimate you. So
absolutely.
That's been awesome. And, you know, we've got some other college soccer in the area. We had our two coaches for Pellissippi, which is in its inaugural season. They were on the podcast, Josh Scott, men's head coach, and Mariana Diaz, the women's head coach. The men had an incredible run in their inaugural season. They actually ended their home fixtures with a 2-0 victory against Johnson University, which is deep down in South Knox County. They're an NAIA opponent. Team finished with an 11-3-2 record, just a single loss at home. And some of these games, Patty, were against some top-notch foes. They had a 3-2 win against LMU. That's a ranked Division II team. I think they were ranked 17th or 18th in the nation at the time. They also picked up a 2-1 win over Milligan College and a 24-0 drubbing of Crown College, which is just, I felt.
Wait. Did you say 2-4, like 20? 24, double digits.
24-0. That was the final score. If anybody, for all of our crazy soccer aficionado listeners, you know, there's an incredible movie coming out this weekend by Taika Waititi, Next Goal Wins, which tells the story of American Samoa, which famously had the most one-sided loss in soccer history. They lost 32-0, I think, to Australia many years ago. And so I don't know if like these kids over there at Pellissippi, if Josh had them all hyped up on some Taika Waititi trailers or something, and they were like, we're going to do one better. So they fell 8 goals short, but gosh, 24-0. Incredible work there by Coach Scott and his staff. And the Pellissippi women too, they finished 8-8. Most recent game was a tough 3-1 loss to University of the Cumberlands, which is historically a very strong team. They faced more community colleges in their schedule than the men did. And they also had some great results at home. They picked up an 11-0 win against Alice Lloyd College from Kentucky, 6-2 win over Dyersburg State, and a 3-2 victory against Tennessee Wesleyan's reserve side. And Pellissippi also just uploaded on its YouTube channel some video interviews with both Coach Scott and Coach Diaz. We'll link to those so you can go check them out. Congratulations to both of them. We're glad to have them on the map in the Knoxville soccer radar, and are really excited to see what comes next for them, because I'm sure, you know, it's funny. I always make the mistake of thinking there's like time off, you know, between seasons. And I said this to One Knox general manager, Drew McKenna, you know, at the end of the One Knoxville season. And he was like, yeah, no, like no vacations until we get through the next one. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's just tough. But you know, that's sports for you, Patty. That's what's been going on in the high school and college soccer world. What's been happening in the pros, Patty? What have we missed since everybody tuned out after One Knox didn't make the playoffs? You know, like I shut off my laptop screen. I unsubscribed from ESPN Plus. Yep. I was like, I'm not paying attention.
I'm done with this.
So what happened after we all, you know, just burrowed in our lament of One Knoxville's, you know, missed attempt at the playoffs?
Right. So after I got over the emotional, I cried it all out and whatnot, I emerged from my emotional weighted blanket and whatnot, and I put on my journalism hat, and I'm here to give you the USL1 playoffs and the final, totally professional, no emotions. Here we go. Top six that participated were Union Omaha, North Carolina FC, Northern Colorado Hailstorm. I have no idea how they got up there. Charlotte Independence, Greenville Triumph, and Forward Madison, good buddies of ours. In the quarterfinal, it was the Hailstorm versus the Madison. Hailstorm advanced. Charlotte and then versus Greenville, and Charlotte advanced. And so since it's six people going into that, they kind of reseed after that quarterfinal. So you have Omaha versus Charlotte, with Charlotte advancing on penalty kicks away at Omaha. Definitely a David versus Goliath story. And then you have North Carolina versus the Hailstorm, and no precipitation in Cary, North Carolina, no hail coming down there. So North Carolina advanced 3-1 at home. So the final was North Carolina FC versus Charlotte Independence at Wake Med Soccer Park, home to North Carolina FC and NC Courage, the NWSL powerhouse. The stats kind of tell the story of regular time here. Possession, North Carolina 56.5, Charlotte 43.5. Shots on target are 5 versus 4. I was really impressed by this game, though. It felt big. Each of the teams, you know, wanted the ball and wanted to shoot it. It really didn't feel like the USL one games that we're used to. It reminded me a lot of One Knox's USL two tournament run, where it's like the teams were there to win, to take it all. And it was amazing. They just, everyone put their body on the line for it. So this is the first time ever the USL final had to go into extra time. In the 99th minute, Charlotte scores off a beautiful set piece by Acosta, heading it in. The head muscle and the neck muscle needed for that header, I don't know if I want to aspire to that type of strength, but he definitely got it in there off of pure strength. And then the 111th minute, 1-1-1, North Carolina benefit from an own goal from Charlotte, but really it was just North Carolina slammed it in so hard that the goalkeeper couldn't hold it back. So it fell to Somersall's feet and he just cranked it in. We'll have a show notes, the highlights down in the show notes there. So tied and it goes to PKs. First kick for each side goes in. Second kick from Charlotte is denied. So North Carolina just needs to score out their remaining kicks, and they did. And as you watched the highlights on this, the wall of sound from the crowd is incredible. Definitely the 12th man was in full swing, just shy of 4,500 fans there. So North Carolina FC are our USL1 2023 champions. Congratulations. And it's a beautiful ending to their USL1 stint because they are joining USL Championship next year. Thank goodness, don't have to play those jokers again. They've played two seasons actually in USL1, and they did it all for increasing first-time minutes for the youth academy age players, as well as focusing additional resources in youth development. So they did it for the kids, came down a league. And NCFC is one of the largest youth to pro organizations in the United States. So I applaud them for doing that, coming down, doing it for the kids and getting back up there into a championship and, ready to go to battle. So super cool to see the final there. And I mean, it gets me pumped about next year. Cause I'm like, I know Knoxville has the seeds for that we can be that entertaining and make a run in the playoffs. So,
yeah. And you and I don't have an inside scoop to what's happening at the moment at One Knoxville, but we have historically seen a lot of changes, a lot of turnover in USL League One, both with teams, you know, coming up and down, in and out, but also players and coaches. So we know fans would love for many of our superstars from the season to stay aboard. We had a handful of players that actually made it into the all league selections. So even though we didn't make the playoffs, you know, Sean Lewis was goalkeeper of the year candidate. Jordan Skelton was a defender of the year candidate. And both those players made the USL League One first team. And Angelo Kelly, incredible, a fascinating player to watch on the field when he's not being red carded, which he, you know, I think he got,
which is a habit of his, you know, yeah, but yeah, you know, just,
he's like, I prefer to play in like every third game,
right, yes,
you know, but when he's on there, he's just like all like guts and brawn and spirit and toughness. And so, you know, great accolades for those three players. And so I'm really eager to see what the USL League One season looks like in terms of personnel, players, coaches. We saw Lexington announce that they've hired a new coach already going into next season. The guy who's been in the Inter Miami organization, coach with Phil Neville.
Also an interesting signing for USL One as well. Central Valley Fuego signs Jermaine Jones as his first professional coaching gig. So the good old German-born, playing for the United States, Jermaine Jones is going to be coaching in USL One. So definitely going down and getting an autograph from him when he comes next year.
So Patty, you know, I don't know if you saw this recently or if any of our listeners did, but Landon Donovan recently gave an interview about what he told Jurgen Klinsmann and the, you know, kind of capricious, controversial head coach of the team at the time. You know, he didn't pick him for the 2014 World Cup team. That was where, you know, Jermaine Jones had like a star role. That's when all these dual internationals came in. And apparently Donovan told Klinsmann, like, hey, look, I know I'm not a kid anymore, but you're going to have a bunch of players that you're taking to this World Cup who are going to play like 3, 4, 5 games for the national team. And then they'll be out of the picture. And like, looking back, dude, you're like, here are some names that people probably haven't heard in a while. Julian Green. You know, who was playing for like Bayern Munich's reserve side. He was in and out of the picture. You had Aron Johansson, the Icelandic American at AC Alkmaar. You had Mikkel Diskerud.
Oh,
man.
These are all the guys that I knew, like, know and still know all the stats Like Mick's coming to New York City Football Club was like the biggest deal for me. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So these are all my U.S. men's national team guys. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
The revolving door of Jurgen Klinsmann. Yep.
Yes. Oh, and then like Berhalter was like, you want to try out 100 players in a World Cup cycle? Let me do you one better. And then, you know, Jurgen started Greg started pulling players out of wherever he could find them. But not to distract Patty, you know, what's been going on in the world of USL champ?
Let me try this transition.
Yeah.
And just as the U.S. men's national team is a phoenix rising in the world of soccer, we have Phoenix Rising versus the Charleston Battery in Charleston, South Carolina for the USL Championship Final. And as a side note, our very own Tyler Gibson, Knoxville zone, Tyler Gibson playing for Louisville City. They losing out of the Eastern Conference Final to Charleston Battery. So taking note there. So Charleston Battery versus Phoenix Rising. Another final that goes to PKs after a 1-1. Incredible. Charleston just couldn't seal the deal, only making their first two penalty kicks. And Phoenix taking advantage while making their last three penalty kicks. Incredible.
Dude, I read a statistic that Phoenix Rising in the playoffs had actually only scored after the 90th minute. And so each time against higher seeded teams on the road, they were able to win in extra time. And then in the final, they missed their first two penalty kicks and still somehow pull off the victory.
So crazy. So crazy.
Like, it's like they were like, you know, like, oh, I hope we had like a super American head coaching moment, like a Ridley Scott, you know, sports heroes journey moment where it's like, we are the Phoenix Rising. We must rise like the Phoenix, or, you know, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, something that like they'll make a miracle movie about in you know, 20 years. And I'm like, so perfect.
So Phoenix Rising, first time USL championship title. So congratulations to Phoenix on that one. This episode is brought to you by Markman's Diamonds, Knoxville's choice for diamonds and fine jewelry since 1976. Visit markmansdiamonds.com, as well as Union Place Bar and Grill, your family-friendly spot to enjoy the beautiful game, delicious food, and live music in Knoxville. Visit unionplacebar.com. Now, pivoting over to the MLS, we know it isn't talked much here on the Knox Soccer Podcast, but that changes right now. The headlines that are pertaining to us, Inter Miami, even though you signed the GOAT, Lionel Messi, halfway through an abysmal season, it still can't get you into the playoffs, finishing one better than the bottom of the Eastern Conference where they started off.
You know, Messi showed up in Miami and they were, you know, hyping this all up. They were doing the special deals with Apple TV. And then somebody told them, you know, they're like really bad, right? And he's like, right. Well, how bad? It's like, well, they basically lost every single game until you showed up. And it's
My NYC FC boys in blue ended two spots out of the playoffs, even with the return of Maxi Morales, club legend. Maybe Maxi should have taken notes from Messi on this one, coming back not even halfway through season. Like, it was like the playoff run. He came back from his boyhood club. And is now still at the team there. Brian, your Red Bulls made it into the playoffs via the wild card, beating Charlotte, but then losing to Cincinnati. And then Jeff Markman's Nashville SC, or probably a majority of our listeners here, the Nashville boys made it into the playoffs, but couldn't get past Orlando, as the Pride have just come alive this season and going into the tournament. Sam Scott Sporting KC has made the most of their playoff run in by wild card and now are set up against Houston in the semis playing Thanksgiving Sunday. So currently on Monday, November 13th, we're in the MLS semifinals. We have Orlando playing Columbus on the Saturday of Thanksgiving, Cincinnati playing Philadelphia also on Saturday. We have Houston playing Kansas City on Sunday, and then Seattle against LAFC those coastal powerhouses also playing on Sunday there. Brian, who's going to be? Who's taking it home?
So if you're just looking at numbers, like I don't know much about sports betting. I do have friends who will like, you know, spend their afternoons betting on like Turkish third division games. And like, it's wild, man, the things that you can bet on. But Cincinnati has had a just remarkable season. And, you know, they gave, even though they lost in the League Cup to Inter Miami, they also gave him a reality check before the end of the season. They won the Supporter Shield. That would be a great achievement. You know, Cincinnati's not too far from Knoxville. We don't have a team really here in our market. And so you wind up seeing fandom split between Nashville and Atlanta and Cincinnati. But I love their colors. I also love the fact that Tyler Gibson, Knoxville's very own, former Knox Soccer Podcast guest, actually played for Cincinnati FC before they became FC Cincinnati in MLS. And so I got to think that they're the favorites, but who knows? It would be great for Nashville to, no, it wouldn't because they're not in it. So cut that part out. Like, it would be great for Nashville to rather they're not. So
it'd be great for Sam Scott's Sporting KC to come away with a win as they were ranked eighth in Western. And if they can come away and win this whole thing, that'd be incredible. That's what I would love to see. I would love to see Cincinnati versus Sporting KC would be an incredible final.
Yeah, that would be a Phoenix Rising moment. Kansas City. Oh, tying it all together with these USL Championship references. Oh.
All right, Brian. So I know you are in control of Google Earth now, and you're continuing to zoom out of the soccer world here. What else do we got?
So I wish I could provide a fuller and more thorough update, but fortunately, probably, you know, nobody wants to listen to us for that much longer. So I have been struggling, Patty, to stay awake and watch all of the many leagues that I cared about growing up. You know, I put together this incredible like melange of streaming platforms exclusively to watch soccer. So I've got, you know, ESPN Plus, I get my La Liga, USL Championship League One. I've got Paramount for Serie A, for Argentina, Brazilian leagues. I've got Peacock, all that stuff. You know, Everton's been pretty good recently, which is great in terms of the English Premier League. It's shockingly
fantastic.
Yeah. Sean Dyche hasn't knocked out. And I'm still, you know, waiting. If I were a betting man, I'm like, not Sean Dyche is going to headbutt one of his own players before the end of the season. Don't know who it'll be. Besides Everton, Rosario Central has actually been doing pretty good in Argentina. We've got some big international fixtures coming up. So the U.S. men's national team faces off against Trinidad and Tobago in a home and away series in the Nations League quarterfinals. And we must recall, Patty, we are the champs, the two-time champs of the Nations League, the most important tournament nobody cared about before 2020.
Exactly.
The second only in stature to the Florida Cup, which Everton, you know, famously won against Millonarios from Colombia a few years ago. But you know, they've got this matchup against Trinidad. They actually play that first game on Thursday, 16th, and they play again on Monday. Hashtag never forget, you know, Trinidad and Tobago inflicted that loss that kept the U.S. men's national team out of the 2018 World Cup, led to me, you know, sitting in my bedroom in the dark, Haley having to send for like a health check because she wasn't sure what was happening to me. Yep. We weren't married yet, you know, so we got that going on, got some interesting stuff happening with the national team. Last time we recorded, they'd actually, you know, beat down on Ghana in Nashville, 4-0 drubbing. We had two goals from the wunderkind, Gio Reyna, who, you know, like, Greg Berhalter was just sitting on the sidelines murmuring to himself like, and Reyna just was, they couldn't wait to get to his DMs that night for everybody to be like, you showed him, Gio. And then we also had goals from Balogun and Pulley. Unfortunately, we won't have Pulisic, Captain America, or Timothy Weah because they're injured. They, you know, play in Italy for AC Milan and Serie A. We've got some interesting storylines going into the games against Trinidad. We've got Brendan and his brother Paxton Aronson, both playing the Bundesliga, faced off against each other two fixtures ago when Brendan's Union Berlin lost 3-0 at home to Paxton's Eintracht Frankfurt. And so it's the first time that they're actually in the team together. Aronson could start in place of either Pulisic or Weah. We don't know. We've also got Gabriel Slanina being called in, you know, the young goalkeeper famously signed to Chelsea. He's on loan in Belgium right now. And, you know, our two other goalkeepers that are in the camp, Ethan Horvath and Matt Turner, are both playing at Nottingham Forest, both sitting on the bench, which is incredible for like national team goalkeepers.
Great choice.
Like,
great choice, like, guys.
Let's go play at the same bad team in England and not start.
And not start. Let's warm that bench.
Oh yeah, that's the bench we want to warm. So some other cool stuff going on, man. You know, we got Malik Tillman, who's in form, playing at PSV with Sergiño Dest. Kevin Paredes, Club America attacker Alex Sendejas could also appear in the team. So I'm excited to see what happens. We've also got some massive games for Argentina, who play Uruguay at home. Uruguay beat Brazil under the care of Marcelo Bielsa, the famous kind of neurotic Argentinian head coach. Mm-hmm. I think they beat him 2-0 last time. It was the first time they beat him in 150 years or something like that, since the 1950 World Cup final, probably. And then Argentina also faces off against Brazil in the Maracana, the famous site where they won the Copa America 2 years ago. So exciting stuff happening there in the world of the U.S. men's national team. You got anything to add in there, Patty? Did I miss something?
No, you got it all, man. All I got on the agenda now are our two special announcements we are both immensely proud to share with y'all and any and all y'all that listen to this little podcast of ours. Number one, Brian is officially a published author. He's been a writer for most of his adult life and has always aspired to be an author. And now he is. And Brian, before I let you loose, tell everybody about your book. And I just want to say your writing has always been incredible. And I'm so proud that you showed your work. You did the dang thing. You let your stories lived and you published a freaking book, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, dude, Pat. I really appreciate it. Yeah, my first book of stories, Big Head on the Block, is officially for sale on Amazon and at Bear Den Books in Sequoia Hills on Thursday, the same time that the U.S. men's national team faces off against Trinidad. I will be doing a reading there, a song and story event with some other friends at 6:30 p.m. Super pumped for that. I got some good soccer stories in that book. Actually opened with a story I wrote called The Penalty Kick. Before the 2018 World Cup, it was just, you know, like they call it in Argentina, el sueño de potrero, like the dream of the field. And I dreamed of scoring a World Cup winning penalty kick. And then sure enough, you know, fast forward 4 years, and that's exactly how the World Cup final is decided by Argentina. So that's a really wonderful prophetic story that I put in there. I also got a story about my hero, Gabriel Batistuta, a story about playing pickup soccer at 16th Street Park in Bayonne with all my ruffian friends. And then also a story about Argentina winning the World Cup. So I'm really excited about that book, Patty. And of course, there will be much more to come. But I think you may have even bigger news to share.
Before I get to that, while I was painting the nursery this past weekend, I loves Brian's radio quality voice so much that he read the book to me via Spotify. So yes, there is an audible version of the book you can find on Spotify. Be sure to buy the book, listen to it on Spotify, leave a review on Amazon, come on out to Bear Den's Books on Thursday. And yes, Brian, we have also another incredible announcement. Knock Soccer Podcast has merch, or we'll have merch by Black Friday. By now, you probably know that Brian and I are more than just podcasters. We love to create. And one day we came up with these designs for merch that celebrate not just a specific team in Knoxville, but the sport of footy, soccer, football in Knoxville. So we whipped up a few designs with the help of Davis. Thanks, Davis. Appreciate it. And we put those on shirts, hoodies, socks, hats, beanies. The print on demand store will go live this Saturday morning, the 18th. Be sure to grab some swag for yourself and the family, and then send the link over to your friends. We are so pumped for y'all to rock these. And there's a couple of designs in here that aren't, that could be just Knoxville like specific. It doesn't have to be, it's not just big like soccer balls and Knox Soccer Podcast stuff. There really isn't a lot of that stuff. This is just Knoxville pride, Knoxville soccer pride. So We'd love y'all for y'all to check that out and grab some stuff for the holidays.
Yeah, super pumped about that. I've also got a little bit of an announcement, Patty, about something else that we're doing. And that is we are, turning back the clock to the good old days of Yanks Abroad. If anybody could remember, before we could watch our boys in red, white, and blue, our baby Eagles, play through streaming platforms all over the world, we had to track them using the ancient internet. And Yanks Abroad has historically kept a database of American players and where they're playing. So we're doing that for Knoxville, and we need your help. So we know about our Tyler Gibsons over there at Louisville City, or Brindley Murphys down there at South Carolina. We want to know all of the Knoxville players at the college and professional level that we should be following, potential future guests. So if you have them, drop us a comment, shoot us an email, help us put this together so that we as a community can really rally around our players born, bred, and just loving over here in the 865.
That's all we got for you today on the Knox Soccer Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to sign up for our newsletter over at thenoxsoccerpodcast.com. If you like hearing this in this lowdown of stuff, comment, DM, email us, and be sure to support Brian this Thursday and grab some merch on Saturday. And with that, we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
Also, I just want to say really quickly that I'm not a sexist, and I did watch the NWSL Championship Final and Gotham FC beat OL Reign 2-1. Megan Rapinoe broke her Achilles.